I've been excited to share this offering message. I already preached it to somebody in the church earlier this week, or part of it. It's just something which God had birthed in my heart, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago. And so I just want you to go with me on a little bit of a journey and just share a story, and that you know our connection, both as a church and personally, with Brother Jerry Seville and his wife, Miss Carolyn, and their ministry, Heritage of Faith, and JSMI, which our church is affiliated and a part of. But Brother Jerry has been incredibly influential in my life, probably aside from my dad and my husband. He would be the most influential preacher that has shaped my life ever since I was 15 years old, when I first connected with his ministry. And as we know, he went to be with the Lord this year, but Miss Carolyn is continuing on the ministry. And the story came from something that happened with her a couple of weeks ago. Many of you will remember that for almost 25 years, Brother Jerry was believing for a particular plane. He had planes that he would use to fly to minister, so that it enabled him to minister a lot more than he could if he had to always fly commercial. But he was particularly believing for an international plane because he didn't have that. And I remember it was probably 25 years ago when we were hosting one of his meetings. We've hosted him in Australia for probably the last, how old are you, Brooke? You're 26? Okay, for the last 26 years. Brooke was a babe in arms, the first time that Brother Jerry ever came. And so I think it was on his second or third visit with us, and he was talking to us as a family about this Falcon 50 that he was believing God for, that would take him all around the world so he didn't have to travel commercial, for both the sake of protecting the anointing and, as I said, to getting in and out a lot quicker and being able to do a lot more. And so he showed us a photo of it, and I still remember that, particularly our two older kids, and that because Brooke was only a little toddler at that stage. But I remember Caleb and Caitlin, when they heard, they went home the night and we were meeting him again the next day, and they emptied their piggy banks and they sewed the money that they had, which I think between them was about $8 or $9, but they sewed that into his plane, and he was so touched and, you know, prayed for them, obviously, for the seed that they were sowing. Anyway, 4 years ago, as many of you will remember from when Brother Jerry was with us last year, he said 4 years ago that dream came to fruition. He was given a Falcon 50 aeroplane. It was provided for their ministry, the one that he's been believing for so long, the one that my kids sewed, you know, into so many years ago. And he was rejoicing, obviously. It came during COVID, so he couldn't use it for a couple of years while international borders were still shut, but then he was able to start to use it and use it for the last couple of years of his ministry. But obviously, as we know, he went home to be with the Lord in April, and so they had this Falcon 50, which was valued at $3.5 million, sitting there. And it was a month ago, Keith Moore, who many of you will know from his ministry, a wonderful man of God that we esteem highly and listen to all the time. He was also a friend, a very close friend of Brother Jerry's, and actually related to him. And he rang Miss Carolyn and he said, "Would you consider sewing the Falcon 50, the plane that's sitting there in your hangar, you know, valued at $3.5 million? Her first response, now to my knowledge, that is all he said to her. She said she was about to go on vacation for a week. She said she would pray about it. So she prayed while she was on vacation. And when she came back a few days later, she rang him and she said, "God has told me, yes, I'm to sew the plane." Now, she then rang her board of directors, talked to them and explained and told them that she was going to sew the plane. Now, you need to understand, this plane would be almost like her in insurance, I guess. I'm saying, you know, in the sense that with Brother Jerry no longer at the helm, obviously they in the natural, their continued income could possibly, you know, drop. They have no idea what the future was going to look like, but she knew God wanted her to keep the ministry alive and moving. And so I've never asked her personally, but I'm sure in the back of her mind that plane was a great asset, you know, having that plane there. But the Lord said through Keith Moore, he asked her to pray and the Lord told her to sow it. So the very next day, she rang another ministry. So just watch this story with me. Nancy Dufresne, many of you would have remembered, may have heard of her, powerful minister who's really impacted my life, particularly in the last 12 months. And the Lord spoke to Miss Carolyn and she said that was who the plane was to go to. So she rang Nancy Dufresne and she said, I am giving you Brother Jerry's international plane for your ministry, a $3.5 million plane, which would, I'm sure, have been a huge blessing to Nancy. I don't know her personally, so I'm not going to make up her response, but I'm sure it would have been incredible to see God providing for her like that. Then the very next day, 24 hours later, Keith Moore deposited $3 million in JSMI's account, just as a seed. And then the same day, somebody else deposited, that she didn't even know, deposited $100,000 in JSMI's account. She said, certainly, probably the biggest seed, the $3 million is that they've seen. These seeds, Miss Carolyn said, have set the ministry up to continue to do what they are called to. When we were told the story, God spoke a phrase into my heart, which is why I have my little chessboard here. I don't play chess. I don't aspire to play chess, but this was the phrase God said. I've heard it many times, but the Holy Spirit said to me specifically, Miss Carolyn was playing checkers, but God was playing 4D chess. He was thinking so far above her. She was thinking of a woman in her 70s suddenly running an international ministry on her own without her husband, who has been the spearhead of the ministry. And God was like, I'm looking from a totally different stage to what you're looking. She was looking from an earthly position. God was looking from a heavenly position. You see, he was working behind the scenes and he was several moves ahead of her. Now, I don't know a lot about chess, as I said. I would love to have had Elliot here there on holidays, but Elliot could have told you everything about chess. Elliot plays chess games that go for days and he is days ahead in what he's doing. Like, I just move a piece, but Elliot's already thinking of the next 10 moves that he's going to do. And everything is strategic and everything is setting up. And when the Lord began to speak to me about this whole concept, because after hearing the story, initially I had a lot of questions. These are my questions. I said, Lord, if Keith Moore was going to sow $3 million, why didn't he just buy the plane? Why did he tell her to sow the plane? Why didn't he just say, I'll buy the plane? He's got an international ministry. Did Keith Moore know at that point that God was going to ask him to sow the seed? You know, I immediately thought when he asked Miss Carolyn to pray about sowing it, he already knew what he was going to do, but he may not have. God may have surprised him after Miss Carolyn said yes. God may have surprised him and said, I want you to sow this money into their ministry. Did Keith Moore even have the $3 million? I got no idea. There are so many scenarios that I will probably never know. And I'm sure next time we have the privilege of meeting Pastor Keith or having him minister here, I would love to ask the inside story, but I may never get to do that. He may not want to share that. Was there another player in this game that suddenly sowed $3 million to Keith Moore, who then immediately sowed it on? These are all the questions. The next one was, I said, if Miss Carolyn had decided to sell the plane, and that would it have sold straight away? Peter and I caught up with some friends this week for coffee, and the gentleman we spoke to has a lot more aviation knowledge than I do. My aviation knowledge is similar to my chess knowledge and that. But he said a plane like that, an international plane that didn't seat a lot of people, may not necessarily There may not be a lot of buyers in the pool that are looking for that. So a plane like that could stay for a couple of years and not be sold. You know, it's not like putting it up on Facebook Marketplace. I have a Falcon 50 for 3.5 million, you know. He said the amount of people wanting that would be very limited. So so planes like that, I was told, could sit in the hangar for a long time waiting to be sold. And even though the plane was valued at 3.5 million, who says she's going to get it? How many of you know people bargain you down? You put a car up on to sale, you know, for $5,000, somebody rings and says, I'll give you $3,500 or I'll give you $4,000. Do you understand? There's no guarantee that she was going to get 3.5 million. There was no guarantee she would be able to sell it immediately. There's so many different ways this story could have gone. But the ultimate producer and director of the story, God, he had this amazing move ready. And it was like, Miss Carolyn, if you will obey and do this, you have no idea what's about to come. Literally within 24 hours of her sewing the plane, she has had $3,100,000 sewn into her account. And one of the things I really appreciated, Miss Carolyn shared that her and Brother Jerry, you know, you talk about a mantra that is over, you know, we've always said as a family, there's two scriptures that are really our mantras, that seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added unto you. We've taught that to our kids from birth too. We keep on teaching it. That's the way we live our lives. And secondly, from John 17:4, that I want to fulfill down to the very last detail what God put me on earth to do. And those are two scriptures which are our mantras. Miss Carolyn shared that Brother Jerry and her lived by a saying that he had developed, give us hearing ears and a willing heart that would obey quickly and quietly. And she said their life and their ministry for the last 55 years has been based on that. Give us hearing ears and a willing heart that we would obey quickly and quietly. And she made the decision exactly that way. She didn't take months to make it. I thought, Lord, you know, how would I feel if somebody had rung me and said, I feel that you need to sew your house? I may want to take more than 3 or 4 days, you know, to pray about it. But she said she was going away for, I think, 5 days. She was going to come, and she just determined she would come back with an answer, because she said they've always obeyed quickly and quietly. She didn't make a big song and dance about it. And so she made the decision that way. If she had continued from a checkers board mentality, she would have been looking at the immediate and the obvious moves, okay? That plane could be money saved for a rainy day. If support dropped for Brother Jerry, because he's gone to be with the Lord, they could sell the plane. Now, she hasn't told me any of this. I'm saying these are the thought processes you could have. What about the emotional attachment? 25 years, her husband believed God for that plane. There would have to be a tagging, you know, of emotional strings there. But Miss Carolyn never looked from a checkers board. She quickly and quietly obeyed what God told her to do. After going to prayer at the advice of a prophet of God, she elevated herself and the ministry from a checkers board to a chess board. In a perfect illustration, I wanted to have a checkers board down there and a chess board here. I couldn't find a checkers board. So we've only got the chess board. But I want you to see her decision to obey quickly and quietly what God told her to do elevated her and the future of Jerry Seville Ministries and Heritage of Faith Churches from here to up here, a four-dimensional chessboard. And you know, God's ways are not our ways. It says in Isaiah 55, just as the sky is higher than the earth, so my deeds are superior to your deeds and my plans are superior to your plans. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. That's what the Message Bible says. The way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. And I am so grateful to have stories that can influence me like this, of people we know personally that live a life where they are quickly and quietly obeying the voice of the Lord, so they are elevating themselves from a checkers board to a chess board. And it says in Deuteronomy, I think Caitlin referenced it before, if you listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and it goes on to say all the things that God will do. If you listen and obey. She didn't just jump at it because somebody had said it. And Brother Keith didn't tell her to sell the plane. He said, He said, will you pray about sowing the plane? So he put the ball in her court, or he put the game piece in her hand. And it was up to her whether it remained a chess piece or it became a chess piece or remained a checker piece. And it is just such a different mentality. And, you know, I want you to realize as you're giving this morning, or as you've given online, or as you will give today or tomorrow or whenever, and that obeying what God tells us to do, even when it looks silly, or even when it looks impossible, or even when it looks wrong, but obeying what God, not what man, obeying what God tells you to do, elevates your finances and every area of your life from a checkers game to a chess game. And I like it when Peter said, a 4D chess game. Because God is the master chess player. You move the pieces he tells you and you'll end up in a very good place on that board. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it. And you know, I'll finish with one last story and then I'm going to encourage the band to sing that song again. And then we're going to receive the tithes and offerings. You know, in 2011, we were staying over with Brother Jerry and Miss Carolyn for 2 weeks. Some of you have heard this story, but I love it. Brother Jerry always says, this is my message, I'll tell it again. Well, this is my offering message, I'll tell it again. And it was the last night of a conference and I was sitting in the side of the building. Any of you who are familiar with Heritage of Faith, you'll often see they'll pan the cameras. Miss Carolyn always sits on the side. And I was sitting on the side with her. And an altar call was given, and a lot of people had come out. But one man had come out and he'd fallen face down kind of on the ground and he was sobbing. And next thing I know, Miss Carolyn just bent over and said to me, if Jerry comes off stage, tell him I've just slipped home to get my checkbook because I left it home. They live just around the corner from the church. And then she went off. So that was, I didn't think anything of it. The meeting was still going. She came back and then she put her bag down, walked over to the man who was still on the floor. Everybody was still at the altar. She knelt down beside him, talked to him. Suddenly I see him begin to wail really loudly. And I see her get out her checkbook, write something, give it to him and come and sit down. Totally quietly, totally unfussed. It was only that she was sitting beside me and I knew what she'd gone to get, that I had any inkling of what was happening. And when she came back, I said to her, what happened? And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said that that man that's down there, she didn't know him. This was an open conference. This wasn't their church. And that had a serious financial need that was urgent and I needed to give him money to cover that tonight. So she just went home. And I said to her, how did you know that you had the money to cover it? Like you didn't know what the need was. And she looked at me and she said, God wouldn't have told me to do it if he didn't think I had the money. She said, I didn't need to ask how much it was because God would never have called me to do it otherwise. He would have called somebody else. And then she told me what the amount was, and it was not a small amount. And that man had got so far behind on his car payments that his car was being repossessed the next morning at 9 o'clock if he could not back pay all of his car payments. And if his car was repossessed, he lost his job because he was a travelling salesman. And he had a wife and 3 kids that he was struggling to feed. And he was going to be out of work from the next morning. And he'd come to that meeting in faith that he was going to meet with God. He didn't expect to have somebody give him a check to cover all those car payments so that the next day he could pay off his car and not have it repossessed. But it was her simplicity of quickly and quietly obeying. If I hadn't have sat next to her, I would never know that story. But I know I sat there because God used that story to impact me. And that story changed my life. I was part of the story. I didn't do anything, but I saw it. I was like the disciples watching, you know, when they're seeing Jesus do things, it's like, this is real. This is not me reading it in a biography. And, you know, I just really want to encourage you. God is a master 4D chess player. And when he tells you to do something, quickly and quietly obey it. And then he will elevate you from being a checkers player to being a chess player. So I want you to stand, and as you give, as I said, this only works when we do what God tells us to do. This is not us telling you what to give. This is not the person next to you telling you what to give. This is not some evangelist writing to you and saying, if I don't get, $100,000 by tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen. This is when God is speaking to you. And I want us to be a church and individuals that listen intently and then quickly and quietly obey. As who knows how many people had to quickly and quietly obey for that miracle? Keith Moore had to quickly obey to tell Miss Carolyn to do it. She had to quickly and quietly obey the voice of the Spirit and go and say, I'm going to sow it. And that. And then the next part of the story we may never know, probably. Did Keith Moore have that money? Did somebody give it to him? Was there other chess pieces around that God was moving them all around so this miracle could all take place? But I promise you, God is no man's debtor. And if you obey what he tells you to do, he will always be the master chess player. So I know most people give online now, but I encourage you, in the buckets of past, please make a connection, because I want your faith to say, I have quickly and quietly obeyed. I have done what God has told me to do. I have obeyed his word where it says to bring the tithe into the storehouse and to prove him. I have given, I have sowed, and I am knowing that the master 4D chess player has got all these moves worked out. And I want to make sure that I'm obeying every move that he tells me to do, because there is other people waiting on the other side of our obedience. And I really want to encourage you in that. So I'm going to get our pastor to come and pray before we give. If I can call him up, he's a better chess player than I am. Well, I am not a chess player, so you can't get much worse than that. I talk about the shapes of them. I ask Peter, are you going to move the one that's got the funny little thing on the top? So that's my level of chess. I don't even know what they're called. But he's a better chess player than me. We're serving the God.
You can imagine how difficult it is to know that.
He gave up trying to teach me chess years ago in our marriage.
We had a gentleman, just before we just give, a preach from Creation Ministries, Jonathan Safadi. I don't know if anyone knows Jonathan. He spoke at our church many years ago. He's a scientist, speaks about creation, but he was also a champion chess player in New Zealand. He was like the top level chess player, and he would do things like go into a room and have 20 people with a chess set in front of them, and he would play them all. He'd just walk around in a circle, effectively, just go around and play them all, and so he'd be playing 20 games of chess at once. He'd do it blindfolded. So he would come up to them, just tell him what move they'd made, and he'd tell him what move he's making, and then they'd tell him he could remember and keep all those games going. And I remember, how do you do that? And he said, well, he doesn't see a chessboard as we do, as a normal person does, as a grid with the pieces on it. He sees it literally in 3D, connected. The pieces are all intertwined and connected. So he's not making moves. He's seeing this thing as a... So he can keep 20 of those images just working at the same time. I haven't tried that. I sort of feel like, am I white or black? just remind me here. It's like, oh, that would not. How many would like to try that as a challenge? Play a game blindfolded. I sort of feel that the same God that can enable someone to see a game of chess like that is the God who's the creator of the universe and can intertwine our lives and work things together and keep all the pieces moving. Keep everything. You said, you just obey here, but God. And the danger is when we try and understand it from our level, and it's as God says, you won't understand what's happening. You know, we don't know what this is from Nancy Dufresne's. She's probably got a whole story from her perspective and where she came from. You know, it's all people, pieces, and I thank God he says he actually numbers the hairs on our head. He so understands. He is so over your situation. He's got this. If we would just trust him, then he elevates us from what we can see and what we can do to this amazing ability to intertwine and work and have things ahead and for things to do. Has anyone ever, and we've had this, God told us to do something and we obeyed him, and in that we receive something in the mail the next day, which was the answer to our prayer and our giving, and yet that person would have had to post it a week ago. Do you know what I mean? God was already had the answer on rote, and we were just stepping in. How does God keep that sort of thing happening? So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Take whatever, you know, if you've been given through the, you know, an online transfer, or you're about to give, if you've got money, whatever, however the Lord's, you know, however you've given, I want you to lay hands on something and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I declare I can only see the chess. I can only see the checkers level. But I declare I put this finances into your hands, and I, Lord, release it to do, Lord, what only you can do. Lord, supernaturally, Lord, anointed, Father, to meet the right need, to do the right thing, to turn the right seed, Lord, and bring the right harvest. I thank you, Father, that as we've been giving and giving, Lord, I declare the harvest is coming in Jesus' name. I declare you work that. Lord, I declare we are not trying to take control of the how. We just lock into the who. We trust you with this. We do what you tell us to do, and you work it all out, and you make things work. I thank you right now. There are angels busy, Lord, coordinating and making things come to us and working that out. And, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you money comes to this church. Press down. Shaking it. Money comes from the north, the south, the east, the west, and left and the right, below and beneath. Lord, it just comes, Lord, because you, Lord, and I thank you we've been obedient. Released, Lord, seed. Released, Lord, been obedient to do what you've called us to do. And I thank you through that obedience, we release you, Father, to work in a supernatural way in Jesus' name. So we bless these offerings. We put them into your hands, and we declare our God is at work in Jesus' name. Amen.